Good evening, John, and welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Who draws up these regulations?
Oh, these regulations are amazing. The first set were drawn up in 1947, just after the Second World War, in Atlantic City in the USA. And at that time, satellite communications was a dream, and remember Arthur C. Clarke's 1945, I think it was, Wireless World article about the deestationary orbit and the possibilities, but nobody ever conceived in 1947 that there would be space radio communications. However, as time passed, it became more and more feasible, and at the ITU we have these radio conferences from time to time. During this period they were more as required. Currently, in our new operational methods, we have them on a regular two-year basis. But at that time, space slowly but surely made its way into our radio regulations. There was an important conference in 1963 where the first indications were made relating to space services. The most, perhaps, well-known part of our radio regulations is our table of frequency allocations, which is a list of different radio frequencies and the different radio services that can use these frequencies. And in 1963, the first allocations, as we call them, to space radio communication services came into the regulations. There was then a special conference in 1971 dealing with space matters, and the regulations became more detailed and more issues were covered. More technical knowledge was about. Special methods were established to determine whether coordination was necessary, and the boom started, you might say. Again, in 1979, a later conference improved on this again. Additional features were added. And then there were two conferences in the 1980s, one in 1985 and one in 1988, which added to it again. So these regulations have grown through the years. Like many legal texts, everything is just added on. There's never a overall review, and to a certain degree, the regulations have become, to some people's view, too complex. And in fact, through ITU, we're seeking to simplify the regulations at the moment. But it's the classic development of a legal text through meetings, conferences, and decisions made by the members of ITU, which currently number 181 different countries.
And by and large, it works well.
It has worked well. These issues we've just discussed about the very high interest in the Asia-Pacific region will provide a fairly solid test to the worth of the regulations and how they are accepted by all members. If there is too much difficulty, where do we go? I guess the members of ITU, the countries, the 181 countries, will have to find a way out of this difficulty. As of now, I don't think we're at the point where a real difficulty is there, but the next 5-10 years will be most interesting in this situation to see if it smooths out and all these conflicting and contradictory requirements are resolved or not.
Well, how does a ex-Melbourne lad come to be working in Geneva with the ITU?
Yes. Well, I was fortunate in my career. Around 1975, I'd been working with the PMG's department that the older listeners might remember, and in that year, the Whitlam government decided to create two government companies or corporations, Telecom Australia and Australia Post. And the 110,000 people who were currently working for the then PMG's department suddenly found themselves, I think, about 80,000 in Telecom and 30,000 in Australia Post. But when they cleaned the room, they found there was about 1,000 people left over, and these were the spectrum managers. And the management of the radio frequency spectrum is a government issue. It's a national management of a rare resource that has much value, and this has continued to be part of government activity at the federal level. I was fortunate to move into this area at the time of this split in 1975, and I gained experience there, and this included the possibility of going to Geneva to the International Telecommunication Union for meetings and conferences, and I was able to participate in the 1979 radio conference, which was perhaps the highlight of my career. Later on, posts advertised from time to time. I had an interest in this field. I applied for a couple, and very, very fortunately, I think, I was able to get one, and that's how it happened.
Okay, so what do you do with the ITU?
Well, The ITU consists of a number of organs, as we call them, dealing with international matters relating to telecommunications. Very broadly, there's one dealing with radio communications, because radio communications is it doesn't stop at the frontier. Radio waves can easily pass into other countries, and many, of course, allow worldwide communications. So there is a need for international regulation of their use. So we have the radio communications sector, as we call it. We also have a standardisation sector, and this establishes recommendations on use of telecommunications for a worldwide basis. And this would be setting standards on data transmission, on telephone interconnection, all sorts of things. We have a third sector which deals with development, and this is a way in which we can aid telecommunications development in the developing countries through the ITU. And in addition to these three sectors, which are our main work areas, we have a general secretariat which provides the necessary support, the finance, the personnel, the computer systems, the conference support, and so on.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, John, and we hope you have a good and safe trip back to Geneva.
Well, thank you very much. It's going through the northern part of Queensland, so it'll be slow and it'll be pleasant.
Okay, thanks again.